Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. An exciting hour number two. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Joy and I are wearing red and blue. Didn't mean to. I'm a guy. What's available, I put on. And we are not doing election coverage. By the way, I'm going to shout out to all the guys and women on the election coverage who have to use those touch boards, those touch screens, because I've done that before, and that's no day at the beach. That thing can go haywire. And that John King guy is doing stuff, and I'm like, that guy is worth his weight in gold.
I did not watch a second of election coverage. Yeah. I ate a giant plate of pasta and binged about 11 episodes of Schitt's Creek last night.
Oh, that's funny show. Wife loves. Ann loves that. And, by the way, Ann at 4 o'clock, she never does this, says, I'm going to open a bottle of wine. And I said, why, darling? She's like, going to be a long night.
Yeah, I unfortunately ran out of red wine last night, which is a tragedy. And I was not going to leave my house, so I switched to a martini.
Those are good, too.
Yeah. I had a good night.
Did you see the number one Google search? That was one of the top Google searches in America last night.
This
is funny. This is great. Liquor store near me. I'm not joking.
It's a stressful time right now.
Of course it is. And listen, we're divided. I don't think some of this division is terrible. I think when half the country's this and half the country's that. I don't want to live in a country where everybody's on one side. I like the arguments, but
yeah,
I just
we should be able to disagree.
Yes.
But, you know, unfortunately, we're past that point. It's divided. We can't disagree on anything. Although I think we can all agree I look good in red, and I'm not turning that over to anyone.
No, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
I like the glasses, too. Very professional. Okay, before we get to Joel Klatt. So I do a Super Bowl bubble. But I start about week 5, 6, 7, 8, and I've always done it the same way. I always believe there are 8 teams capable of winning the Super Bowl. Until this year. I don't. I eliminated 2-1 yesterday, Green Bay. They didn't do anything at the trading deadline. I've seen them play physical teams. Minnesota ratted them. Tampa ran them. Last year, it's the same team. They didn't address it in the draft. Here's my Super Bowl bubble. 4 teams, I think, can win the Super Bowl. Tampa, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Seattle. I'll put Green Bay, Baltimore, Tennessee on the fringes because I do think if they stayed really healthy and a Seattle fell apart physically, you know, Tennessee, Mahomes gets dinged up. I think those teams are the next best. That's only 7 total.
You lost the Rams, too.
You can't get blown out every other game. So that's my Super Bowl. I don't buy the Saints. I haven't all year, especially when it gets cold. They'll have to go on the road. They'll be a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 seed. They're not going to win in Philadelphia. So that's my Super Bowl bubble, and I will say this again, I'm not a real jealous person. You know, that's just not, I got my faults, but I'm not real jealous. But I would get, if I was in this industry, and I thought I had at least as much or more talent than everybody else, and I never got support, I do here. I never got a guest booker, I do here. I never got a good co-host, I do, or a great producer, Goulet. And I felt like all my rivals, they always get all, and I don't. I'd be a little bitter, little bitter. Aaron Rodgers, I don't blame him. He's looking at Brady, and Brady had a great defense his entire time in New England, and he goes to Tampa, and it's great. And Tom was in New England. They made deals, and Tampa makes deals, and they get him AB, and Aaron's like, can I just get a Will Fuller? Can I get a second-round pick for a linebacker? Like, I get a little bit of bitterness. This is why I've always said I hate the franchise tag for quarterbacks. I hate it. Aaron's trapped. He can't go anywhere. I do not like the franchise tag at all. I don't think it's fair that I work my tail off in college. You get me for 4 years, and then you can keep me for 2 more if you're a lousy franchise. I hate it. Aaron Rodgers, after his first contract, by the end of it, should say, do I like my GM? Do I like my owner? No, I'm out. But I get a little resentment. I would get a little bit of it if I'm Aaron. I mean, listen, he lost to Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick had a loaded roster. He lost to Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo had a loaded roster. Like, he's lost Matt Ryan. He's better than Matt Ryan. Matt had an organization that would spend money and get picks. And so I get it. But my Super Bowl bubble this morning is 4 teams. Seattle, Tampa in the NFC, Pittsburgh, Kansas City. Because Green Bay didn't do anything at the trading deadline. All right, every week. You know, this week, I have a feeling There's an old saying, there's a term called eat crow. I rarely have to. But I'm not going to lie. The Harbaugh thing's not great for me right now. Or Joel Klatt. Let's bring him on, the voice of college football. Joel Klatt, Fox Sports. It is. We are literally now. You've heard of Gilligan's Island. It's Harbaugh Island. And we're the last two on it.
And I think it's in my rearview mirror at this point.
Okay, so let's
that wasn't good Saturday.
Okay.
My goodness.
All right. We both like Mel Tucker. You played at Colorado. I thought he made him big and physical very quickly there.
Yeah, he toughened that program up.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. And then he immediately, I think, at Michigan State, retained what they were under D'Antonio, which was a team that would rise to the occasion against Michigan. In large part, Mark D'Antonio built his whole reputation as a coach off of the fact that he beat Michigan.
Yeah.
You know, and he beat them fairly consistently, and now Mel Tucker has done it in his very first
with somebody else's players.
And by the way, it wasn't that close, to be honest with you, because Michigan couldn't do any of the things that Michigan did well against Minnesota, and Michigan State played great football and had a great plan. They were attacking those corners. Rocky Lombardi, the quarterback, played pretty well. Ricky White on the outside, a true freshman wide receiver, he was sensational. And then a huge shout out to Antoine Simmons, the linebacker for Michigan State. Did you know that he played his high school football literally across the street from the Big House? There's a high school right there, Pioneer High School. Those of you in Ann Arbor, you know exactly.
They didn't recruit him?
He didn't really want to play at Michigan, and it came down to kind of Ohio State, maybe Michigan State. Ends up in East Lansing. He's been a really good player, has played a ton of football for them, and as a senior in the Big House, plays one of his best games, 11 tackles. Kudos to Antoine Simmons. That was a great performance.
I've been watching Pioneer High School football for years.
Have you? Interesting.
Okay, so let's ask this. So I heard this years ago. I'm going to give you a little sourcing. I have a labyrinth of sources.
I bet.
I mean, I literally have to say to GMs in the NFL, stop texting me.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I heard this a couple years ago about Harbaugh when he was in the NFL.
Okay.
And then I heard it from a friend of mine who knows Harbaugh really well and just happened to be, let's say, in the last 20 years on one of his staffs.
Okay.
Harbaugh holds fewer meetings than other people. He's really quirky. There's things he does well, but it's not like other programs. He doesn't coach it like Urban or Nick. And they were like, listen, it's a different thing. Our meetings aren't as long, blah, 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 blah. And so I look at Michigan and I think something's not working. They're too inconsistent. They haven't gotten the quarterback right yet, which I don't get. Michigan's a great school. But you tell me, okay, there's something not working here. You tell me what it is inside, the secret sauce that's not working. Is he too quirky as a guy?
Well, it's interesting that you say that because it's really working exceptionally well outside of Michigan State, Ohio State, and bowl games.
Well, that's like saying I'm great except when I'm on the air.
No, listen.
I got to be good on the air.
I understand that. And that's a huge issue. And I think Saturday's loss for Michigan was a low
horrible
point under Harbaugh.
Horrible is worse loss.
In particular with the way that Michigan State had a coaching staff that came in late, a lot of new players. It does not look good. I will tell you this, that and I've said this on your program before, a lot of the hate that Harbaugh gets is deserved because a lot of people think and his contract suggests that they should be playing at the very top end of college football, the Ohio State end of college football, the Alabama end of college football. And they're just not that type of program.
They're not.
I've said this before, but if you're just looking for Michigan to get back to doing Michigan things, they're actually doing that.
That's
if you
right.
actually look at their
except,
history.
Except actually beating Michigan State because they don't have to beat Ohio State.
That's true.
If they were beating Michigan State, just that. They would be okay with it.
And they would still be like, I wish we could beat Ohio State. But remember, Ohio State's on a historically great run. But just to give you some context of what I'm talking about, and this is not an excuse because they're underperforming right now and that's not okay, right? And Jim understands that and he understands that that was a terrible loss. I'm sure of it. However, Michigan's won 12 football games one time in the history of their program.
Once.
And they shared a national championship because of it. Brian Griese, of course, and that great team that was undefeated in 12-0 under Lloyd Carr. Just to give you some context, Ohio State has won 12 games eight times this decade.
It's a different level program.
It's a different level. They're recruiting at a different level. And right now, Michigan is not there, and that drives people insane because they felt like Harbaugh, with his salary, with his ability to recruit in particular early, that they were going to get to that level, and that's the expectation. If that's the expectation, then you're falling short, and that's frustrating for them. And I don't know how it's going to end there. I think that
they're not going to fire him this year.
I don't think that they would, but I wouldn't be shocked if he, you know, stepped away. I would not be surprised at all if in a matter of a few years Jim Harbaugh is not coaching anywhere and driving around the country in an RV. And I'm not joking. That's not being like I'm not being sarcastic there. That's not a joke or a knock. I'm dead serious. Like I don't think that if it's not going to work at Michigan, Jim's not going to go anywhere else. He's going to drive around the country in RV. Like, that's, again, not sarcastic.
Yeah. Trust me, I'm two bad segments from doing the same thing. Okay, so let's go. I'm actually excited for this. USC Arizona State, early game, 9 in the morning. I'm going to have my English muffin, my burnt English muffin, scrambled
Joy's
eggs.
Joy's apparently going to be on her third martini.
Yeah, yeah. So let me
Big
just say this.
Martini night?
Herm Edwards.
Hopefully not.
Well, yeah, that's true. It's going to be 9 a.m.
Herm Edwards has worked. They play real deep. I'm going to tell you something. You may not watch Pac-12 football. Herm Edwards, they're the second or third best recruiting program right now in the Pac-12. I think Arizona State has a chance to win that game.
Yeah, I do too. Listen, I'm calling that game, so I don't want to get too overboard here, but that's a lot of points. I'm just saying. I've done a lot of games this year so far, and only one home team has won. Not covered or anything. Only one home team has won the game. That was Ohio State or Nebraska. Every other game that I've done, the road team has come in and win, and most of them multi-touchdown underdogs. And I think Arizona State's catching 10.5. That's the last I'll say. You know what I'm talking about, you guys out there. Okay, so Herm has worked. And think about it from this standpoint.
Why?
It's a great question. They understood that the point in college football is recruiting. That's number one. And within recruiting, there's really two elements that players care about. Championships in the NFL.
Boom.
Okay? And so everything they did and built was to create a scenario where it was going to mimic and feel like the NFL. I am the CEO. This is what we're going to do. Their meetings are NFL style of meetings. Their players that go to the league, like Brandon Ayuk, has had a lot of success early because he comes from a college program that feels like an NFL program. That's kind of how they operate. And that's why it's worked. And think about this, the juxtaposition. It was not the exact same day, but it was close, where Kevin Sumlin and Herm Edwards were hired the same offseason. Okay, and everybody to a man were like, oh, that's a home run for Arizona. What is Arizona State doing? And now you look up a few years later, it's clear that Arizona State kind of won that hiring battle.
I'm going to throw something at you. America, get ready for this one. The reason Herm works. People didn't think Pete Carroll was going to work. People didn't think Herm's going to work. This is why. In politics and in college football, can you deliver a message? What are you? When I look at Pete Carroll, USC was swimming, and Pete's like, competition Wednesday, compete every day. I'm going to change your life. It totally popped.
Yeah.
Herm, I'm going to get you to the NFL.
There you go. And think about it. Two first-round wide receivers the last 2 years.
No, he can –
Benjamin goes to the NFL, gets drafted by the Cardinals. You know, like they're going to have some more players that get drafted. By the way, they have two true freshmen running back that are going to play. Running backs are going to play Saturday. One of them, they got kind of right out from the nose of Ohio. Like he was a 5-star, highly rated recruit in Ohio, and Arizona State gets him. You're like, what in the world? Well, let me tell you why. It's because they're selling the NFL at Arizona State, and it's working right now. That's going to be a great game, by the way. Those two teams are the best two teams in that division. And folks, I don't know if you've paid attention to college football, but right now, if the Pac-12 gets an undefeated team through their conference, they're going to go to the playoffs. So if I'm Arizona State and USC right now, I'm thinking, why not us? I know that sounds crazy, but why not us?
All right, can Clemson beat Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence?
I'm less concerned. I know this is going to sound like Harrisy. I'm less concerned about Lawrence than I am. They've got a couple of defensive players that have been out. Skulski, who's kind of their defensive captain. I believe it's Tony Davis, one of their defensive linemen, probably their best defensive lineman, at least as it relates to a couple of the coaching staffs that have played them already.
By the way, I've talked with. True freshman quarterback, no big long camp.
And on the road against a big physical
yes.
Notre Dame team.
They're
okay?
very.
They're very big, right?
Yes.
And they can run it, and they can ball control you. They can play physical on the defensive side. They got length in the secondary. Now, if Trevor's playing, I clearly favor Clemson,
yes.
I think that's pretty obvious. But Notre Dame has got a great shot. And by the way, they might need this game desperately. Because remember, in the ACC, they're not doing divisions. It's just going to be the best two winning percentages are going to play in the ACC championship game. That looks like it's going to be Notre Dame and Clemson, regardless of how this game winds up this week. Well, the playoff committee's not taking Notre Dame if they lose twice to Clemson.
Yeah.
They're just not going to do it. So Notre Dame's only path to the playoff is beating Clemson at least once this year, and their best chance is clearly going to be at home with Lawrence
What's
not
the
available.
Weather like?
I don't know, actually. I haven't seen it in South
Bend. I mean, I'm sure it's charming. It's November in Indiana. So.
I know it's supposed to be bad here in L.A. this weekend.
What do you mean
like,
bad?
Windy and rainy. Oh. 60 degrees.
Oh, I like Arizona State in the upset then.
Wow, interesting.
Okay, so what do we got there this weather weekend in
Saturday,
South Bend?
Saturday, 70 degrees.
What is it?
Low of 50.
Oh, God, then Clemson will win.
Okay.
I thought it was
going
to be like 9 degrees and snowing. I'm
big
like, that's a
guy.
Notre Dame win.
But, well, I wouldn't be shocked if Notre Dame wins that game. But like I said, look at those injuries on the defensive side for Clemson. I think those are going to be a bigger factor, in particular with Notre Dame's ability to run the ball and control the game with their offensive line.
All right, did you watch election coverage last night?
I did. I was flipping around. I was watching some film. I think I'm probably, like most Americans, very eager for this to be over.
God, the
right?
I just want to wake up one day and not talk about presidents.
Sure.
Can I just go to the grocery store, go to Costco, get a big tub of mayonnaise and sit there by myself and enjoy
it? A tub of mayonnaise? I tell you
and
what.
Just have tuna fish sandwiches all day.
The dietary habits right now of what's going on this show are very interesting.
I just don't want to talk about presidents every day. I've done it for 4 years. I just want to go have tuna fish sandwiches, crackers, talk to my dogs, and pour a Heineken.
Well, you have to talk to your dogs after a tuna fish sandwich because that's the only people that will talk to you after a tuna fish sandwich. Am I right?
You're right, Joel Klatt.
I feel bad. All of you that wait every week for me to stuff Colin into like a locker or something like that, it didn't really happen today, so I apologize.
No, I mean, listen, we don't. To manufacture that.
I know. But it still disappoints me because I know there's so many people out there that just take such great happiness and joy, when I can come in here and body bag you for a while.
By the way, when you go on around the country and you talk to these very talented coaches, they scold you for talking to me like this.
False. This is a PolitiFact fact check. False. This is a four Pinocchio claim.
What?
That Colin just.
What do coaches say to you?
Every single person.
Now you're not
much less coach. I mean, this is.
What do they say?
Hey, keep giving Colin crap, man. Hold him to the fire, man. I love it when you stuff him into a locker. And I'm like, yeah, me too. I'm not by nature a bully. At least I hope not. Maybe some would disagree with that. But I do like bullying Colin.
It's not what my sources say. I got a lot of them.
I
turn my phone off sometimes because the GMs in the NFL, Roger Goodell, won't stop texting me.
All the texts from the GMs that text me around the league. It's amazing.
All right, buddy. Good seeing you.
You as well. Enjoy the rest of your day. Joy, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You bet.
Aqib Talib in about 20 minutes.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow, Aaron Rodgers leads the NFC North leading Packers against the 49ers. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video.
With Garoppolo, I'd take the Niners. Without him, I'll take Green Bay. It's important. Green Bay just lost. Chicago's not going anywhere. They're feisty. Good stuff. All right, let's not waste any time. Joey Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
There wasn't a whole lot going on at the trade deadline yesterday, but the Dolphins made a couple of moves. They traded wide receiver Isaiah Ford to the Patriots for a conditional sixth-round pick in 2022, and they acquired running back DeAndre Washington and a conditional 7th-round pick in 2021 from the Chiefs in exchange for a conditional 2021 6th-round pick. Now, at first glance, it would look like the Patriots were making a move to bolster their skill positions.
I think it's a bunch of phoniness. I think it's looking like they want you to think that they're still competing, but that guy's a... He's talented. He was a good third down receiver for Miami. He's talented. But, I mean, again, he should be your number four receiver.
There's also, you know, the Flores-Belichick connection there's a little movement of some pieces around.
Dolphins need some depth at running back.
Yes. They're starting running back Miles Gaskin is expected to miss 3 games with an MCL sprain. DeAndre Washington had 3 carries for 5 yards, 1 reception, 2 yards, only played in 1 game with the Chiefs this season. But, as you mentioned, it's just to add a little depth there and make some moves around the trade deadline. So Jimmy Garoppolo is headed to the injured reserve list and could be done for the season after injuring his ankle again last weekend against the Seahawks. But Kyle Shanahan said he didn't have any second thoughts about bringing Jimmy G back too soon.
When you have those high ankle sprains, that you re-injure them a lot. But it was a different way that he did it. So it's basically doing it all over again in a different way. So I don't regret bringing him back in any of the times, you know. But he redid something in the Seattle game, and it was bad. Tried hard to come back, and I'm glad the docs want to let him because it ended up being worse than we thought.
Listen, everybody in this league plays hurt. I mean, if Jimmy probably pushed, he wanted to play.
This is not a Kevin Durant situation.
Right, right. Yeah.
This is the NFL. You're going to play through injuries that you probably shouldn't be doing any kind of physical activity on. And he is expected to miss 6 weeks with the high ankle sprain. He's gathering some other opinions while trying to determine if he needs surgery. But he's out, and essentially the 49ers season appears to be over. Now, they have Nick Mullins, so, you know, it is still a Shanahan system, but Jimmy G is obviously better than him. That's why he's the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
And the division is the Rams are now going to be better, Arizona's better, and Seattle's way better, so it's over.
And you know, in the NFC, like, you're not going to sneak your way in at this record at this point in the season without your starting quarterback. The 49ers also shut down their facility today after a positive COVID test. The game is obviously still scheduled for tomorrow. So we were talking about this over the past couple weeks, that it looked like we reacted too soon to what was happening with San Francisco. But this is just a year that they're falling apart physically. Sometimes it happens. I don't think it's anything too dramatic to react to, but if you look more macro, what do you do with Jimmy G? Because there was already some questions coming into this season about Jimmy G, which I thought was a little bit exaggerated because they were just in the Super Bowl and one throw away from winning the Super Bowl. But I always struggle with that one play thing because it's kind of like, well, that's the play that the guy would make if you had the guy.
Right.
So it may seem small and kind of insignificant that he didn't make that play. Like, you were in the Super Bowl. You were just one play away. You did dominate the Chiefs for most of the game. But what do you do? Like, what do you do with Jimmy G at this point? He's always injured. He wasn't really lauded like that to begin with.
I think they're gonna engineer some kind of move to get Sam Darnold. I really do. I think Sam Darnold's gonna be a 49er or Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's much more expensive, but I think there's gonna be a robust market for Sam Darnold, and I think the Colts are gonna lead it, and the Niners are gonna be second, and Washington's gonna be third. And if I'm Sam Darnold, I would much rather go to Kyle Shanahan and the Colts O-line than where he's currently at.
Yeah, and over Washington as well. Even though I think that Washington is trending in the right direction, they are a ways off, obviously, from the 49ers.
He's a defensive coach. I want Frank Reich or Shanahan. I'll take an offensive coach.
I feel like Sam Darnold kind of fits more with the Colts. He feels like a Colts.
Tough guy.
Quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Like, the San Francisco 49ers is a little bit of a glamorous franchise.
That's not who he is. He's a beach volleyball player. He was a linebacker for a while. I mean, Darnold's a tough guy. In fact, he did something last week. Oh, I would have scolded him. He ran just headlong into a couple of Chiefs defenders.
He's a very reckless player.
Yeah,
yes.
Like Sam. You're not a linebacker at the Huntington Beach High or wherever you were. It's San Juan Capistrano.
You're not describing him as a finesse.
No.
quarterback.
He is not a finesse. He is not a finesse quarterback.
He weirdly kind of reminds me of Carson Wentz in a lot of ways.
Yes, that's exactly what he reminds me of. That's a good comp. He's a reckless, high ceiling, reckless. You're getting turnovers, and sometimes you're like, just slide.
Just get down, and he kind of gets down sort of clunky anyway.
Yeah, no, that's a good comp.
But he does have the potential to elevate a team.
But this
guy has
an it quality. Physically will make throws and plays. You're like, whoa. I mean, he beat Dallas and the Raiders, I think it was last year. And there were a couple of moments you're like, God, if Darnold had anything to work with.
Finally, Daryl Morey is the new president of basketball operations for the 76ers and could be looking into bringing a familiar face to the organization. Philly is reportedly expected to have interest in pursuing a trade for James Harden. The Rockets are currently not shopping their star, but Daryl Morey already making headlines. We thought he might step away from the game for a little bit. Nope, right over to Philadelphia.
Well,
I would love this move for Philadelphia.
Yeah, but what do I get in Houston? I'm giving you the best scorer in the game. You got to give me more than Ben Simmons.
No, they probably will. But I also think both of these organizations, while they have two stars, they've clearly reached a place where some kind of dramatic movement has to happen. It can't just be moving the coach out. Obviously, they need to make some moves, adjust what they have going on, because neither one of them can get over the hump with what they currently have. No, there's no denying that they both have talents. Both of these organizations have a lot of talent at the top, but it needs some restructuring. There's a reason why Daryl Morey left. There's a reason why the coaches are no longer there, right? They've reached a place where they need to redirect. So I don't think even if you didn't get enough for James Harden that it would be the worst situation, because you kind of need to go in a new direction. Is this even going to happen? Who knows? The fact that this is even out there kind of tells me that these conversations are already being had.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I'm James Harden, that's not the worst situation for him.
Yeah.
I actually believe it would work.
Oh, no, I think he and Embiid would be great together.
And
inside,
I think the
outside.
East is going to start being really, really competitive next year.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday, and it was Gottlieb, actually. We were talking about this. It's like, does everybody understand this Darnold Trevor Lawrence Jet thing is becoming a really big story? This is going to be a humongous, highly rated NFL draft. This could break records because Trevor Lawrence is great and Justin Fields is great. So you have two A-plus guys, and the kid at North Dakota State, my guys tell me, is a very good prospect, B-plus, A-minus, whatever. So it's really interesting. So yesterday, Joe Douglas, the new GM of the Jets, somebody asked him about Sam Darnold in the future, and here's what he said.
Can you say for sure now that Sam will be your starting quarterback next year?
Look, I mean, we're trying to get through the next eight games. I mean, again, my feeling on Sam hasn't changed. You know, we have to do a better job of surrounding him with talent. I have no problem saying that he is our best quarterback and our quarterback for the future.
Okay, so whether you believe that or not. So just to give you some perspective, you could get a haul for Trevor Lawrence if you kept Darnold. So right now the Jets, and I'm only going to count first four rounds, because GMs will tell you after the fourth round, there's a lot of finger crossing. And that's for the guys like Pete Carroll that are good with personnel. Like fifth round, great players generally, historically, aren't available in the fifth round. There's one or two guys every fifth round that's good. So, you know, in the NFL, a first round guy should be a Pro Bowler. Second and third should be starters really, really fast, immediately, really soon. And then a fourth round guy is a little bit of a project, but should make the NFL. Fifth round, your fingers crossed. But, you know, we've had a lot of good players in those rounds. So right now the Jets have two first rounders, a second rounder, two thirds, and through the Giants, one pick in the fourth, potentially two. So two in the first, two in the third, two in the fourth, one in the second, seven picks in that top four round. It's a lot of players. The Jets could give up the number one pick to the Jags, who want him, and get the Jags two picks. So the Jets already have two first-round picks. They could get the Jags, they'd go down to three, and get the Jags' 21st pick from the Rams. Without confusing you, the Jets could end up having, this is just this year in the first round, the third pick, the 21st pick, and the 31st pick. That's just what you'd get for the first round. And if you start looking at what the Jets could get with that, to give you some sense of we're going to keep Darnold and move, let's just go to the first round to simplify it. Right now, the number three pick would be Ja'Marr Chase, a wide receiver, LSU. Receiver issue solved. 21st pick, Alex Leatherwood, tackle Alabama, who you could move inside. Offensive line, back-to-back years, first-round tackles. Probably issue solved. Number 31 pick, Darian Kendrick, cornerback Clemson, speculating, but he drops there. Cornerback, they need one, solved. So you could solve, and you're going to have the most cap space in the NFL. So I'm just saying, if keep Darnold. If I just took the first round, you'd have three key starters and the most cap space in the NFL. I'm not counting the fact they'd have a second, two thirds, and they'd probably get another first round pick for next year. So keeping Darnold, you can get a haul. But I do think, as Peter Schrager said, boy, do you need to be able to sell something in this city, and they are just losing steam. There's not a lot to support and chase and market right now. It's Darnold and nonsense. So, you know, my gut feeling is they go get Trevor Lawrence. All right, Aqib Talib, one of my all-time favorite guests. Nobody keeps it more real than Aqib Talib. He's going to be joining me next halfway through the NFL season.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech, more than a grill, it's a lifestyle. Check it out, RecTech, RECTEQ.com. Built by grillers for grillers. Smart grill technology. You can turn on the grill from your phone. Aqib Talib, in the history of the NFL. I mean, you can go back 50 years, 60 years of the NFL. He took 10 interceptions in for touchdowns. That's the fourth most in NFL history. He was the rare defensive playmaker. 35 career interceptions. Half the years he was in the NFL, he was voted to the Pro Bowl. Belichick loved him. Aqib Talib, former NFL star defensive back, is now joining us live. So, week eight. Here we are, week eight, Aqib. My kind of feeling is, you know, right before Thanksgiving, what you see is what you get. We kind of know who's good, who's not. Were you ever on a team that in week eight got significantly better or worse 2 months from now?
No, never. I feel like by November, you know what you got. You know if you're a good team. You know if you're a contender, or you know if you're working on next year. I can recall Bill in meeting saying that, you know, the football season starts in November. Like, this was when it really cranks up. The good teams are really trying to be good. The decent teams are trying to be a good team. And the bad teams are just getting ready for next year, man. The guys check out. So, no, what you see is what you get.
You know, it's funny. I said this about Green Bay. They're like a convertible sports car. They look good in the summer and early fall. But once it gets cold, you got to put it away and get your SUV out. And Green Bay, to me, is kind of a finesse team. They play a certain way. I don't think you can win in the NFL against these Baltimores, Philadelphia, Seattle, Pete Carroll, the Steelers. It's physical football. Were you ever on a team that you thought, man, we're too soft? We are not physical enough. I think you either have that DNA on a team, mm-hmm, or you do not. Did you ever plan a team that you thought was good, but not physical enough to win a Super Bowl?
I don't know if I played on bad teams before, but I don't know if us not being physical. I'm thinking of my Tampa teams, my New England teams, my Denver teams, and my Rams teams. I don't know if I ever was on a team that wasn't physical enough. I mean, we had some bad quarterbacks and some bad coaching. But me personally, I've never been on a team that wasn't physical enough. But it's possible, man. It's soft football teams out there. And when you play against soft football teams, you definitely can feel it. You can feel like these guys soft. They don't stand on aggression and violence out here on this field. So you can feel it when you play against those kind of teams.
You can. So you can tell. You can tell when you're playing a soft football team.
Definitely.
That's interesting. So Stephon Gilmore, I thought, was going to get traded at the deadline. Like you, he's a playmaking corner. Many suspect he's past his prime. When you watch Stephon Gilmore, is he still elite in your opinion?
I think he's very elite. He's trying to backdoor a defensive MVP season. So, man, as players, man, we deal with pressure all the time, man. Pressure of taking care of our families, pressure of performing well on TV, and the more awards you win or the more money you make, that's just the more pressure that's put on you, you know, the more eyes that's watching you. So you coming off the best season of your life, probably college, high school, any season you ever played in, he's coming off the best season of his life. So it's hard to, you know, it's hard to follow that up, man. So, I mean, and I don't think he's playing bad now. I think DK Metcalf had a pretty good game against him. Besides that, though, Gil is Gil right now. So I'm surprised no team didn't trade for him. I think it probably was a high asking price from New England because Bill knows what he has with Gil.
So you got traded about 8 years ago, Bucks to the Patriots at the trading deadline. So Antonio, you went to a good team, and they had stars, okay? So Antonio Brown now is going to a team, and they've got stars. So your first 2 weeks, Akib, when you went to this star-studded, really good team in New England, is it weird? How do you ingratiate yourself to the guys? Like, is it a rough couple of weeks?
I don't think so. I'm a people person, Colin. So I think the locker room part took care of itself. I just went in there and I was me. And as far as on the field, you know, you just want to show guys what type of player you is. So, man, my first 2 weeks of practice was real hard practice, a lot of film. I was out there by myself. I didn't have to worry about my kids or anything. So I just learned that playbook. I watched a bunch of tape, just watching the defense and seeing how the defense play. So, man, I think it was like you got to prove yourself. You want to prove yourself to them group of guys. You want them guys to be able to believe in you. So that starts in practice. That starts in the meeting room. But you're going to be yourself, man. As far as what type of person you are when you go in that locker room, if you're a quiet guy, you're going to be a quiet guy. If you're a social guy, you're going to talk to all the guys. So, I mean, AB going to fit right in, I think, man. He's a social guy. All the guys know him. And what they're going to love about him and respect about him is he's the hardest working player in the NFL. That's the bottom line is that's what you can't take away from AB. He'll outwork any receiver you want to put in front of him. His workouts will go longer than any receivers in the NFL. So guys going to love him and respect him for that.
Was Brady good to you when you first arrived in Foxborough?
He was great, man. He was great. He came, introduced himself in the locker room. I even thought I was going to have some offense, Colin. I remember standing after practice, me, Tom, and Bill throwing back shoulder fades and corner routes. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have me a package. I was excited. So, hey, so Tom, he took care of me, man. He always went out his way to come, you know what I'm saying, make sure I was good, make sure if I needed anything around the city, let him know. So, man, he was super receiving, man, when I got to New England.
I love hearing that. So I don't know if Tua is going to work. He's a little short. He doesn't run around a lot. I like my quarterbacks a little bigger, and if they are short, I like them to run. I'm just telling you, if you're small like Kyler, then you got to move.
You got to move.
What do you make of Tua? Do you think it's going to work? What do you make of it?
I think he's a starter, man. He's a leader. I think at quarterback position, it starts with being a leader, man. It starts with guys believing in you, guys being able to, you know, depend on you to win games. And it was bad. It was bad. I won't say it was bad, but it was a weird game against the Rams. You know what I'm saying? He didn't have to do much. So I know the coordinators kind of had a pamper on them. They like, you know, we making plays on defense. We running punts back. We getting great field position. We don't have to do much. So he didn't have to do much. But I think that the playbook will open up a little bit more this week against Arizona. I think he could do it, man. If you play on the stage like Alabama and you win national championships and things like that, that's the telltale sign right there. You can't play for Alabama and be a starting quarterback, and that's like a mini NFL stage right there, that SEC. So if you can handle the pressure of the SEC and Alabama starting quarterback, I think you can handle. You could play in the NFL.
You said we had about a minute left. You said he had a certain personality. There's leadership. Can you sense that early from a quarterback? Like that's an it guy. Like he's a man's man.
That's an it guy. I think you can, man. You know right away. And Nick Saban knew. That's why he had him as his starting quarterback. So I think it kind of goes off colleges. If you're a guy who was at, you know what I'm saying, a smaller college, and NFL guys just don't look at you as an it guy because you didn't make it to that stage. But I think once you make it to that SEC, Alabama, Florida State, Florida, Ohio State, once you make it to that stage, NFL guys know he's the it guy.
Great seeing you, bud. Akib Talib. Nice having you on.
Appreciate it, Colin. It's always a pleasure, man.
12 NFL years, Pro Bowler for 5 of them. 10 picks taken back for touchdowns, Akib Talib. He's one of my favorite people. I tell you that every time. I love Akib. There's just no BS with him. Like, I tell you, everybody's BSing everybody. Your boss BSs you. Your politician's BSing you. Can't trust polls. Can't trust this. Akib says something. I know it's real. I know he's telling me something that's real. He's not going to BS me. He's just giving it to me straight. There is something interesting about that, though. Like, I don't know how women judge women, but there is something about certain guys walk into a room and they just, you kind of feel it. You can kind of feel the...
Whether they're just telling the truth?
You can just, well, no, just, yeah, like he said, too, has kind of got a leadership thing. There is something to be said for some guys just, they're, you look, there's a presence about...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do women talk about presence?
Yeah. I mean, it's just a confidence thing. I don't know that it's... It depends on how it comes off, you know. If you're extremely confident in a room full of obviously insecure people, it might come off as arrogance.
Right.
If you're extremely confident in a room full of other confident people, like, you know, a room full of professional athletes, and you are supremely confident, that's important. That's what a leader is.
Oh, that's interesting. Akeem Tlaib. Peter King last hour. A lot of NFL stuff. Not ready to give up? Want to feel more energized? Check out the site mdriveformen.com today. Supplement, you can eat right, work out, supplement every morning. Refind your prime. Hour 3, Peter King next.